Mark is correct. This is our last full day on the island, and our hope was when we came that we might encourage you and in God's Word, and we found out that after staying here for this period of time, you've encouraged us. And so we want to thank each of you and all of you for the kindness that you've shown to us in so many ways. And we trust that the Lord will bless you and bless the work that you're doing here. I can tell you this, that it is so encouraging to see the interest that that you have as a whole in terms of missions. I don't know very many people around the world that share your enthusiasm for seeing God's Word go forth around the world. And that really is a thrill for us to see. As we leave, we would request that you would pray for us at least in two areas besides for us personally, but the one would be for the work in Burma. Used to be that we said we had four or five schools there, and to be honest, the Sunday schools and schools have spread so rapidly since Christmas that I can just tell you that it's over a dozen schools and orphanages. And it's thrilling to us. Matter of fact, it's almost beyond our imagination. We never dreamed that this is what God would allow us to see in our lifetime. And so would you please continue to pray for the folks there and pray for us as in the next several days we've got to make some decisions about going over. Probably Sharon will take this trip on her own. Not that I'm afraid to go, but there's some pressing things back home. And so she's the main smuggler of funds and money into the orphans. And so please pray for her. And also pray for our work in Wichita. We have 800 students on a daily basis. And sometimes I think that I born them myself and I raise them myself. But our desire is to see them trained academically and spiritually. And so we would certainly value your prayers with regards to that. In some of our studies on Tuesday nights and in the Sunday school hour, we've been studying the book of Daniel. I did an updated series on Daniel just recently, and we didn't cover all of those. And I have a sign-up sheet if you want to sign up. I'll be happy to send you the set of tapes. There's some handouts on the back that go with it, but there's a set of tapes, 12 tapes, and we'd be happy to have you take those and use those for your study. Tonight, as we close, I can honestly tell you that I have about a dozen things flying through my mind, but I want to settle on three of those. I want to look particularly at the false peace that the world is really clamoring for next. I want to look at the appeal of the false Christ, because I honestly believe that the Antichrist were to show up tonight. Now, that would mean that Jesus Christ would come for true believers, because the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the true church is gone. But if we were to go tonight and the Antichrist were to come, I think that he would be welcomed with open arms today. And the reason I say that is because I see the groundwork that has been laid. And I don't know of anything that grieves me more than to see the inroads that the Antichrist and Satan have made into our homes. And into our whole lifestyle, really. And so we want to talk about a false peace, a false Christ, and a false church. Take your Bibles and turn with me this evening. We want to read three passages, and then we want to look at current events. And what I'd really like to do is just suggest some topics to you and say, this is what the Bible says will take place in the end time. And then we want to look at what the headlines are reading in a variety of newspapers, some of those from America, some from Europe, some from Israel, some from Russia, some from Malaysia. Some are technical magazines. Some are academic magazines. But I believe that we can go to every sector of society and we can find that we're living in these last days. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. We'll stop our reading there. The false peace. And then go with me to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, a passage that we've looked at on several occasions, and again tonight we'll look at some of the aspects of it. Revelation chapter 13, we'll begin our reading in verse 7. And it was given unto him, this is the false Christ or the Antichrist, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. You talk about a worldwide appeal. This false Christ will really have a following. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 14. And deceives them. He will deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast that had a wound by a sword and did live. And he, the Antichrist, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and enslaved, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell except that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And we'll look at the false church, the pretend church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mightest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mightest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. And anoint thine eyes with salve, that thou mayest see. These are three really incredible passages, but I think they summarize so well items that take place in the last days. Tonight, I want us to look at several things that are making the headlines. And I say that because I think that while we've looked at a whole variety of signs and indicators, tonight I want to direct your attention to five. And the reason I say five is because while we're going to talk about maybe two dozen different indicators very quickly, I think you can categorize them in five different areas. One of those areas that I want you to be very aware of is that the Bible says that in the last days, Israel will dominate the headlines. You know what? You cannot go a week without Israel making news. And as you remember this, please keep in mind that at this particular moment, Israel does not accept the New Testament as a valid portion of God's Word. But what if they were to even begin to quote the New Testament? I mean, the Jews quoting the New Testament. Could you believe that? And wait till you see the passage that they quote. I think as we look at Israel, it reminds us of Jerusalem. And there are so many indicators that the Bible said would take place in the last days. Tonight, I'm just going to flash through some of those headlines so that as you see the news over the next several days, you'll say, wow, you know what? Isn't that what the Bible said? Isn't that what the Bible said? And then next, I want us to look at not only Israel, but Israel's enemies. You know, the Bible goes on record. Now, please keep in mind that nothing has been written in the Bible for 1,900 years. Now, I can understand if the Bible was being written today. And you might say, listen, Linstead, you're just making this up. You're just adding these things as you see the news. No, this Bible was written by God, inspired by God. And nothing has been written in this book for over 1,900 years. But you know what the Bible said? The Bible said that in the last days there would be nations come against Israel. It says, first of all, that there would be a revival of Europe. We've been studying this in the book of Daniel. He says that you will see Europe revives. Is that occurred? He says that in the end, in spite of its collapse, it will come back. Russia will be opposed to Israel. Think about that prediction. And then it goes on to say that Islam, it says that they will be wild men, that they will go against all nations, but in particular, they will center their hatred for Israel. The Bible even goes on record of saying that Iraq and Syria both will be against Israel, and there will be a head-to-head conflict between the Jews and Iraq and Israel, or Syria. Do you think that might happen? Wait till I show you headlines. I can't make up the Bible. I can only read it. I can't make up the headlines. I can only read it. But you know what? As I read the headlines, I'm convinced we're living in the very last days. And because he said, you'll know the last days, why? There's going to be a false sense of peace, there's going to be a false Christ, and there's going to be a false church. And you want to know something? Tonight, I can see every one of those things worldwide. The Bible says, look for Israel, for Jerusalem, the signs there. Look for the enemies of Israel, the signs there. I think next, the Bible talks about the fact that there will be a cry, a world cry for peace. They will do anything to find a mastermind, a brilliant mind that can bring peace to Israel, can bring peace to the Middle East. Watch how God orchestrates this. And then the Bible indicates the fact that there will be an antichrist, a false Christ. When he comes in, we saw in one of our previous lessons, the key word is deception. He comes by deception. And I want you, even at the beginning, to think about this. Back at our school, I teach some Bible classes, and I also teach some math classes. Matter of fact, the math I really enjoy is calculus. I don't know how many of you like calculus, but I like calculus. I like differential equations. Matter of fact, I told my wife several years ago, I said, actually, life is a differential equation. She says, I knew you were weird. But you know what? The more I study math, the better I like math. And I love it when I look at the lower grades and I see some of these kids come up and they are so good at math. You want to know why? Because I think, wow, you know what? If the Lord tarries, I'm going to have these kids in my calculus class. Now, not everyone survives calculus. Some people find themselves allergic to it. I have three kids. They're all allergic to it. But from time to time, and you know what? You know what the best thing, if I wanted a student who's in the first grade eventually to study calculus, guess what I teach him in the first grade? This will shock you. How to add. Yeah, if you don't learn how to add when you're young, you'll never do calculus when you're old. Are you with me? And then when he's in the second, third grade, guess what? I want to teach him how to multiply and divide and so on and so on. And the sixth and seventh grade, I want him to begin to do algebra. And the eighth and ninth grade, I want him to begin to do geometry and so on. Because then I'm going to be able to teach him. In other words, you start at the bottom, don't you? Hey, when the Antichrist comes and he wants to take over, guess what he's going to do? You think he's just going to come right in and say, hey, here's something? No. He's going to set up a program and it's going to work its way in. It's going to begin with the young people. And it's going to find a home in the minds, in the priorities of young people. And so, there will be Israel in Jerusalem. There will be Israel's enemies. There will be a cry for peace. There will be a false Christ. And there will be a professing church that is so far removed from God's Word that you can't even recognize it as a church. It will look more like an entertainment center. Let's see what the headlines are. Here's some that I think might be of interest. We've looked at some of these, but this is a list of a more detailed list. But I want you to notice some in particular. That's why I went ahead and left this view graph in. First of all, it talks about how that all nations will turn against Israel in Joel chapter 3. I mean, it clearly says all the nations eventually will come against Israel. And we're watching that, aren't we? We're watching one by one the nations come against Israel. Next, the Bible states clearly that Damascus, Syria, will eventually be destroyed because it will oppose Israel. It will find objection to Israel and how they worship. It talks about the fact that the Muslim nations will become terrorists. I mean, that's a bold prediction, isn't it? It talks about how that Israel returned to sacrifice. All these things that the Bible has indicated will be in the last days. Now, I personally believe that we're right here at this thing called the church age. The very next thing on God's prophetic program is the rapture, the tribulation period of time, and then comes this battle of Armageddon. Every sign we're looking at tonight, it takes place right here in this tribulation period or in this millennial period. There's not one sign for the rapture. That's why I can honestly tell you tonight, Christ could come tonight. And I think we need to keep that in mind because sometimes people say, well, I'm looking for more signs. This is a headline out of the Jerusalem Post. Look what their headline is. Next stop, Armageddon. I mean, can you believe that would be on the front page of a secular paper? The Jerusalem Post is not a Christian publication by any stretch of the imagination. But here, they talk about next stop, Armageddon. Why? Israel fingers Syria while terrorist attacks accelerate.
I mean, already the front page talks about, here's the conflict between Syria and Israel, and they're saying, is this Armageddon? Now, think about the fact that you say, we don't accept the New Testament. But think about the fact that those who study the New Testament and believe the New Testament say, this is going to take place in the last days. I'm not saying it's going to take place before the church is raptured. I'm saying we could be raptured tonight and this could break out tomorrow. But I'm just saying, those are the very headlines that I would expect to see the day after I left here. I'm not sure I'm going to be interested in the headlines on earth when I'm in heaven. But if so, I think that would be it. Here's another one. This, again, is out of the Jerusalem Post. Look at this. Something's afoot. It may not have been Armageddon itself, but the terror attack in which 17 Israelis were killed last week on the western edge of the Jezreel Valley was indeed waged just where the New Testament says earthly kings will fight godly rulers. There they are. They're quoting the New Testament. I mean, that's how far down the road we are. Even the Jews have to admit what the Bible is saying is coming exactly true. And they talk about an Armageddon scale mayhem that is taking place. They talk about this whole thing with Syria and Damascus. They talk about the whole thing with Iraq and the buildup there and the continued hatred there. You know what? There would be absolute peace in Iraq tonight if the United States would denounce Israel. That's all it would take. And the Bible says these things would take place in the last days. How can we deny that we're not living in the last days? The key really to understanding Bible prophecy, I think, is to look at Israel. And so I know for some of you, you've seen many of these things before, but the Bible says that Israel will be in turmoil. And look at the buses that have been blown up. Look at the bedlam that has occurred. This is actually the head of a man whose head was blown off in one of the explosions in Israel. And after that explosion, the United Nations condemned Israel. Said, Israel, you should not provoke the Palestinians. Guess how they're provoking the Palestinians? They allow the Palestinians to have the Temple Mount. But the Jews said, we think we should be allowed to worship on the Temple Mount also. After all, the city is ours. And that was enough to cause this kind of an explosion and that kind of mayhem in Jerusalem, exactly as the Bible said. And so the United Nations, it says, Israel, you're out of order. Israel, you're the cause of trouble. If we could get rid of the Jews, we could have peace. That's the whole theory behind their actions. Netanyahu talks about, he becomes the foreign minister, and he says, the roadmap for peace, it's not on the agenda. He said, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. You know what? The Bible said, peace would look impossible until a man comes who will have an incredible plan. And you know what? People are going to fall for it. That's how bad. They're going to want peace. This one is incredible. You know that the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 37, as it talks about Israel coming back to the land, it says that among the things is that Israel will be a great army. Now, that's quite a prediction because Israel has never been a great army. I mean, through their entire history, Israel has always been the whipping post of every other nation. But it says in the last days, Israel will be a great army. And so here it talks about the fact that Iran has a missile, and their whole thing is they announced that they said, this missile can easily reach Israel. That's the whole measure of how good the missile is. Can the missile reach Israel? That's all they care about. Nothing else matters. And at the same time, it talks here about how that Israel, it says this, just as Iran launched a missile that could reach Israel, Israel says that they now have a satellite which gives photographs of objects as small as a baseball. And they say, we are going to monitor every single move that Syria makes, and that Iran makes, and that Iraq makes. Guess how the United States, most of the time when we went after one of the leaders in Iraq, guess how we got the information? From this very satellite. From Israel. Yeah. Their army, their security, their thing is way beyond ours. Dateline Washington, the Star Ledger. There was a time in the tortured history of Israel and the Arab world when the United States was the unquestioned military superpower in the Middle East and drew obedience, if grudgingly, respect from all sides, no more. And they go on to talk about how that Israel at this moment is loaded to the teeth. You want to know why? Israel is sure, 100% sure, that there will be a war in the Middle East. You want to know something? I don't think it's going to break out in full force until the church is gone, but we may leave tonight. Another one. The Bible speaks of the rise of Israel's enemies. Europe, a revival of Rome. Russia, the Bible still says Russia is going to come. Islam, are those enemies still here? I want you, that's the total sum of Israel right there. This has been given away. This whole thing is Israel. Look at the vast Arab countries around there. They outnumber them about 20 to 1. In size, they outnumber them almost 35 to 1. And then they say, but you know what? We want a homeland for the Palestinians, and so we want to take, and they've now taken over half of their land away. May I remind you that they won this in a war. Matter of fact, in 5 wars, they could have taken Egypt. And the Bible says by the time they're done, that Iraq will be theirs, Syria will be theirs, Lebanon will be theirs, Jordan will be theirs, part of Saudi Arabia will be theirs. And when the United Nations recognized Israel in 1948, one of the amazing things, they never put boundaries on Israel. Good thing, because the Bible says it will expand in incredible fashion. But there's the trouble point. That little speck, I can cover the whole thing with my finger. Can you believe that little speck is the thing that's causing so much controversy in the world? Exactly as the Bible said. Now look at this. This is out of the Russian Journal. So obviously I didn't manufacture this headline, but here's what they say. The European Union, remember I told you that the rise of Rome was predicted in the Bible, and Russia on Tuesday warned Israel not to mistake its fight against terrorism with the destruction of the Palestinian leadership of Yasser Arafat. I mean, there they are, with all the murders that Yasser Arafat has done, there they are warning Israel to behave. Europe. Among the 20 chapters for a constitutional treaty is the idea that Europe wants to appoint a president. That passed. They now have the ability to appoint a president. He's not elected, he's appointed. By just a group of handful of powerful men, they appoint a president. The European People's Party wants a strong Europe prime minister as the president of the European Union Commission. And they want a super president. This is their words. This is how the UN paper. I mean, they want a super president appointed by the heads of state. He's not even elected. You say how easy it would be for an Antichrist to come to power? You know what? The Bible predicted that he would come out of that very thing. In our study in Daniel, we looked at this, how that in their own newspaper, they talk about the Roman Empire to the Treaty of Rome. They say that the new European Union is actually a continuation of the old Roman Empire. Do you remember what the Bible says in the book of Daniel? That those iron legs would give way in the last days to toes, part of iron and part of clay. They would be a continuation. I mean, this is exactly what the Bible said would take place. Well, how about Israel? Let's just look at a few things. The Bible refers to Israel as a fig tree. And it says that in the last days it will come to life. And among the things that will be there, it says this. It says, the land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. The waste, desolate, and ruined cities are become fenced in and are inhabited. Even this afternoon on the History Channel, they did a story on Israel becoming a nation. And in that story on Israel becoming a nation, they talked about the fact that the UN had reservations about allowing Israel to become a nation because they said, you can never produce enough food. Don't you like it when they make a statement like that? Because the Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says in Amos 9, Zephaniah chapter 2, and as well as in Ezekiel chapter 36 in 2 places, that when Israel becomes a nation again, that they will plant the desert, and the desert will produce incredible crops. And so the United Nations says, we don't think you ought to become a nation. You can't grow enough food. You'll be dependent upon other people for food. Israel said, try us. It's a miracle that Israel ever became a nation, isn't it? And that miracle now is producing food in record proportions all across the desert. Here are some of those verses. It even says that there will be a day when it says that the plowman will overtake the reaper. In other words, they will be planting a crop before they harvest a crop. Now think about that. I was on a farm in Israel when a farmer was planting crop number 7 before he harvested crop number 6. First of all, can you even imagine growing 7 crops in a year? I mean, that's incredible. Listen, it's not Kansas, maybe here, but that's not normal back home. Next, exactly as the Bible said, this guy was planting a new crop before he even harvested the other crop, and the Bible said that in the last days that the planter would overtake the reaper. Look at this headline, Israel's miracle food from the desert. I mean, they even, the secular magazines even call it a miracle food from the desert. And here he is. Look at this. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed." I mean, this is what the Bible said. This was hundreds of years ago. And we're watching it take place before our very eyes. Well, there are some other items that I want to show you. And so I'm gonna skip from this routine to another one. Just bear with me for one brief second. If a person were to try to generate these headlines, it would be impossible. How would you know to even guess something like crops growing in the desert 2,000 years in advance? Here's one that I think is incredible. This one is taken out of the National Post, and it talks about the fact that Israel is expanding the Jewish settlements by 600 homes. Now, think about this. Israel wants to put 600 new homes in their land. This is a land owned by them, governed by them. And of all things, the Palestinians say they should not be allowed to build 600 more homes. Can you imagine that? I mean, let's just say, for example, that Italy said, "We don't think there ought to be another home built on Spanish Wells." Would that affect you? What would you say? You'd say, "Take your pizza and talk to somebody else, because if we decide to build a house, we'll build a house." Isn't that what you'd say? So here is Israel, and so all these governments are coming against it. Now, they talk about the fact that, look at this, and so they interview, of all people, Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat says, this is absolutely wrong, and he talks about how Israel is pursuing its crimes by expanding this racist and Nazi wall. He has his nerve to call the security fence. Now, why did they build a security fence? Because every day there are suicide bombers that come in from the Palestinians to blow themselves up. And so they build a security fence. And Yasser Arafat calls, this is to the Jewish people, he calls it a Nazi wall. You talk about an insult. And then he says, all right, I'm going to appeal this, he said, to the quartet of Middle East peacemakers. Oh boy, I can hardly wait to see who the quartet of Middle East peacekeepers are. Look at this. The United States. That's a joke. You see how effective our peace is in the Middle East? We're doing a perfect job in Iraq, aren't we? Next, Russia. Remember what I told you? The Bible said in the last days that Russia would come down against them? No wonder he wants to appeal to them. And the next one. The European Union. Boy, do you see the Bible being fulfilled? I mean, I didn't generate this headline. And the next one, the United Nations. Oh boy, you can trust them. I mean, 1 out of 3, you can. This is unbelievable. And you want to know something? The United States so sided with the Palestinians that the United States said, "We will pull all of our money away from Israel if you don't oblige and stop the building of homes in your own homeland." I mean, isn't that incredible? But that's what the Bible said would be in those last days. And so, here's another headline that I think might be worth our while to consider. remember, we're going to talk about this idea that all these things are taking place so that the Antichrist would have a free reign. He would be able to come and set up his whole program. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that there would be a time that Israel would return. They would become a new nation against insurmountable odds. They would become a great army. It says that there would be a time when Jerusalem would be in trouble. There would be a time that peace is needed. Are those things true? I mean, that's exactly what the Bible said. And then the Bible says this. I've got to switch this by a little different technique now. Trouble with technology is sometimes those of us who think we know how to use it don't. The Bible says this, that after the rapture, the Antichrist will come and he will make a peace treaty, and the sacrifices have to start again in Israel, because the Antichrist will come and he will actually stop those sacrifices. One of the main items going on in Israel right now is the fact that they are excited about sacrifice. Here's a headline, a news flash of a red heifer born in Israel. I don't know that this is the one, but just the fact that Israel is so excited because they're looking for a perfect animal to sacrifice to renew Old Testament sacrifices. And so here they are, they go out on a kibbutz and they inspect red cows to make sure that, well, they're looking for one that has no black hairs, no white hairs, just red hair, so they can continue the sacrifices of Numbers 19. The Bible says that sacrifices will start. Why? Because when the Antichrist comes, it says that he will stop them. How can the Antichrist come and stop sacrifices unless they start? There's been no sacrifices since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Tonight, one of the leading stories in Israel is the fact that there's several groups of Jews, and their whole intent is to begin animal sacrifices again. When the Antichrist comes, Daniel 9 says this, that he will make it possible so that he will sign a treaty with the Jews, and he will allow the Jews to resume their sacrifices. But in the middle of this covenant, right in the middle, at the end of 3.5 years, he will stop it. In other words, he will deceive them. It will be a trick. And I'm watching the Jews. They're so excited. They have 92 of the 93 items to begin sacrificing. They have them completed, not replicas. I mean, these are authentic devices. They could begin tonight if they decided they wanted to. Now, isn't that incredible? The Bible says in Hosea chapter 3 that in the last days, Israel would return to sacrifices. It'll be a long void, and then they'll return to sacrifices, exactly as the Bible said. The Bible says that the false Christ will come and he'll set up an image in the temple to be worshipped. It says in the last days that individuals would be marked. All of these things are taking place. There's one other current event thing. You know, when the Antichrist comes and asks people to have identification devices in their right hand, I don't think we're going to say, you know what, he's weird. You know what we're going to say? We're going to say, wow, isn't he wise? Here's an article out of CNN, not a Christian organization. Do you realize that? And they talk about microchip implants may save lives one day. It sounds almost like a plot line from Star Trek. A patient's life is saved thanks to a teeny microchip implanted in his body that lets the doctor detect a dangerous condition before it becomes critical. You see, what they're saying is, hey, we have all these devices that can identify who a person is and where a person is. It can keep track of every individual. And if you implant this, well, it's great for security, because no one would be allowed in the bank unless you meet this approval. No one would be allowed to go into school unless we know that that's a student. And it could even help you medically, because it could be monitoring vital signs so that if you're about to have a stroke, about to have a heart attack, it could even alert your doctor. I mean, this is incredible, but the Bible said that in the last days, when the Antichrist comes to power, he would have the ability to identify every single individual, who they are, where they are. That's exactly where we are with technology right now. And they talk about the fact, hey, this scenario might only be a few years rather than a few centuries away. You see, when he comes to power and he suggests this, you know what? We're going to say, wow, he's a bright man. Look at this. I mean, this is great. This is for our good. This is for our security. You see, here's what's happened. The Antichrist is going to come, and by false claims, he's going to deceive people. He's going to get them to set down their guard, even the Jews. To the Jews, he's going to say, hey, you know what? Trust me. I'll make peace. If you will sign this covenant, I will make peace with the enemy. I'll let you begin to sacrifice again. The Jews are going to say, if you can do that, we'll sign the treaty. And he'll do it. And it says at that point, the Jews will set down their weapons. They will become unwalled villages. I mean, that's just incredible that they can do that. To other people, he's going to do all the other things that, well, I'll tell you what. I watch how the occult is coming in through movies, through games. I'm not against every computer game. I'm not against all movies. I'm not against all card games and all stuffed toys. But I have watched young people drag stuff in the house that I know is occultic. You see, that's how the Antichrist is going to get his foothold in. Remember I told you about teaching calculus? You know what? You don't give someone if someone's going to become an alcoholic, you don't turn them into an alcoholic in one day, do you? No, it's one drink at a time. If you're teaching someone how to do calculus, it's one math problem at a time. And here comes the Antichrist, and you want to know something? He is already setting the stage. Our cartoons, I tell you what, they border on the supernatural all the time. They take the elements that belong to God, and they give them to an animal or a man. We have stuffed toys. We have trolls. We have all this stuff. And, I mean, we bring those in. Those are as demonic as they can be. It's a step toward embracing the Antichrist. You know what? You watch the progression of cartoons, you watch the progression of movies, and you know what? The Antichrist has made his devilish move. And I see people saying, well, yeah, that's all right. Huh. I'll tell you what. Why in the world should we put up with second best? You know what? Recently, I talked to a man who makes a living playing professional football. I offered him a Coke. He was offended. He says, you don't seem to understand. He said, I earn a living with this body. You can tell by me drinking my Diet Coke that I don't earn a living with this body. You know, he wouldn't even put a Diet Coke or a Coke in his mouth because he wanted to take care of his body because he runs a football. Can you imagine the mind? Why then should we put garbage into the mind of our children? Because you know what? Their mind is way more precious than their body. And I watch the inroads that's being made by the Antichrist. You want to know something? I think we're at a place tonight where he would be embraced if he were to come. For peace. For sacrificing. For security. There we are. And you know what? The church might be the one that would embrace him. We read of the Laodicean church. You know what that church said? Hey, we're rich. We have needed nothing. We've got it made. Their assessment of themselves, we have need of nothing. And God's assessment, no. He says, you're blind, you're poor, you're naked. The church at Laodicea, they thought they were great. You want to know why? They'd invented something that was actually a fool's gold. Some people think it was the first plastic. They were making jewelry. The trouble was, the jewelry looked nice, but if it ever got hot, or if it got close to a fire, it melted. He says, you need real gold. You're poor. All your jewelry it's fake. They had a medical clinic there to save blindness. You know what? The salve they were putting on their eyes, it did not prevent blindness. It may have promoted blindness. He says, you're poor. You're blind. And then they were setting the fashion trend because they began to dye wool. They would take cheap wool. They would dye it black. He said, no. He says, you need clean linen. Fine, clean linen. What? Provided by Christ. And I look at the church today, and you want to know something? We're so involved with entertainment. We're so involved with making everything look nice. We've forgotten the real point of the church is to build up the saints and the Word of God. It ought to be the Word of God from the time we come in to the time we leave. We ought to be building up the children. We ought to be encouraging the older ones. We ought to be taking the Word of God and taking it to every part of every country. That's the job of the church. I know I'll get in trouble for this, but man, I look on television, I haven't even seen a hotel as fancy as some of the religious programs and the settings they've got. And then I see people that are starving to death physically and spiritually. I say, oh Lord God, we think that we're rich, we think we're mighty, and the real truth is, we have a desperate need. You want to know something? We're living in the last days, aren't we? I believe that in terms of false peace, we're right there. There's not a chance the United Nations is going to bring peace. It's a false peace. I think we're right there at a false Christ. I really believe that the Antichrist could walk in the technologies here that young people are set up. I think we're having a professing church. I think we're so far away from what God's plan was for the early church that if Jesus were to come back, I don't even know if he'd recognize who we are and where we are. How about you? Where do you stand? How about your family? If Jesus is coming soon, you know what? It'd be real important to take an inventory of our little family, wouldn't it? First of all, do they know Christ? Secondly, look at your kids. Is there an appetite for the things of God? Are they going out for God? Mom and Dad, you want to know something? There's nothing more effective than to get on your knees before God. Call your child and call your little one and say, you know what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that Satan will not have a foothold in your life and in your thinking. Because I think Jesus is coming soon. And you know what? More than anything else, I want you to be in heaven with me, and I want you to have a full reward. May God help us as we live in these last days. The headlines, you know what? They confirm we're about to hear this trumpet sound. We're about to have Jesus say, come up here. And then the tribulation will break loose and thunder. Oh, my friend, tonight, do you know Christ? Are you ready if Jesus were to come? Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you that this word of God, that nothing's been added to it for 1900 years. Father, it's so true tonight. Father, may we stand in anticipation of your coming. Father, as we see these headlines, may it cause us to rejoice that the Lord's coming is near. Then, Father, may it cause us to pray for our friends, our family. Father, if there's any here tonight that don't know Christ, may they come tonight and accept you. And if there's some who are backslidden, Father, if they have a cold heart, if they're lukewarm like those that lay in the sea, Father, may you encourage them tonight to get right with God. We pray and ask in Jesus' name.